Would you permit me to clean your engine for you and give you a change of oil? It hurts me to see you abuse a miracle. Gratefully, we followed the man to his village a few miles from Terna. We pulled behind him into a little courtyard filled with pigs and geese. That night, while we preached, he took the engine apart, cleaned it piece by piece, changed the oil, and by the time we were ready to leave the next morning, presented us with a grinning new automobile. God had answered our prayer. We drove into Belgrade on the 1st of May, 1957. May Day, the high, holy day of communism. There wasn't a bed or a seat in a restaurant to be found in the entire city. Nicola and I would have slept in the car that night if the pastor of the church at which we were to speak had not taken us into his own home. And it was in this church that we had the experience that has shaped my ministry down to the present moment. Nicola and I stood on the platform facing a crowded room. It was so full that we did not even have room to put up the flannel graph with which I illustrated my stories of the Gospels. Halfway through the service, someone started hammering. The next thing we knew, they had taken a door right off its hinges so that an overflow crowd in the choir room could hear. These were not the solemn-eyed country people I had come to love, but a sophisticated, fairly well-dressed city congregation. Well, after the talk, Nicola and I gave an altar call. We asked that everyone who wanted to commit his life to Christ, or who wanted to reaffirm a previous commitment, raise his hand. Every hand in the room went up. Surely they hadn't understood. I explained again how serious a step this was. I made the conditions of discipleship under a hostile government painfully clear, and then I made a second appeal, this time asking the people to stand. The entire congregation stood. I was astonished. I had never seen such readiness. Carried away by their spirit, I launched into an enthusiastic description of the daily disciplines of prayer and Bible reading that turn newborn children in Christ into mature soldiers in his ranks. I was outlining the plan for Bible study that we had been taught at the missionary training college when I noticed a change had come over the room. For the first time, people in this responsive congregation were not meeting my eye. They were looking at their hands, the pew backs, anywhere but at me. Puzzled, I turned to the pastor. He, too, seemed embarrassed as he told me through Nicola, "Prayer, yes, that we can do each day. I like what you have said about this, but Bible reading. Brother Andrew, most of these people do not have Bibles." I stared at him in disbelief. I had got used to the idea in rural churches, but in educated, cosmopolitan Belgrade? I turned to the congregation. "How many of you own Bibles?" I asked.